Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Proverbs, chapter 18. We'll read verses 14 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 18, verses 14 through 20. Proverbs 18, verses 14 through 20. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him, and bringeth him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And let's finish on verse 20 together. Ready? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the wonderful spirit that it has. Father, thank you for your presence being here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power today as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our minds, and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
At Christmas time, we hear a couple of words used. Those words are behind what I'm going to say, teach, or preach today. We hear about goodwill toward man. And to me, the church ought to be a place that not only at Christmas time promotes goodwill toward man, it ought to be done 52 weeks out of the year. We also hear that word peace around Christmas time. Again, I think the church ought to be interested in promoting peace among people. We ought to learn to get along with each other. I can't think of anything worse than you take a situation around Christmas. When everybody's getting along well, it sure makes Christmas a wonderful, wonderful time. If people are not getting along well, it sure hinders the Christmas spirit. Today, I'm going to talk to you about those two words, though I will not mention them, but maybe once or twice in the sermon of this morning. But let me present this by way of introduction as well. Those of you that are members of this church, I have a question for you. Are you going to stay members of the church, or are you going to leave? Now that decision will weigh heavily on how you handle the topic of today. Today I'm speaking on this subject. Offenders, offending, and the offended. Offenders, offending, and the offended. The Bible says here in Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. People come and people go from a church. Anybody here that has been strong enough and big enough to last through the years of time, you have seen it. People come and people go. And may I say that one of the primary reasons they go is over how they handle offenses and offenders and when they're offended. Not everybody would leave a church just because they were offended, but many, that's a primary reason. It's their feelings. So often it is not a doctrine, it's their feelings. They leave because of their emotions, not because of the truth of the Word of God. Now, I think there are times, I think if a church deteriorates and they stop preaching proper doctrine, they lose their standards and their convictions and they lose their stand, I think there are times when people may have to change churches. I recommend that we be loyal to the Word of God. We be loyal to the doctrines of the Word of God. And we're to be loyal to the truth and to the principles of the truth, not just to an organization. But let me tell you, people come and people go, and most frequently, it's not over doctrine. We've had people come and go in the last 4.5 years that I've been the pastor. I have not had one come and tell me, "You preach false doctrine." So at least they're offended with something. Their emotions. I asked myself this question. I thought, what is it that I have learned, and I've been preaching now for 30 years, what is it that I have learned by being around the church, and especially by being in the leadership of the church? What are those things that cause those offenses? Not doctrinal issues, but people's emotions and their feelings being hurt and they're offended. What are those things that would be most frequent causes of people getting their feelings hurt and having their feathers ruffled and running up the church or running up the road to join another church or whatever? I thought about it. Let me mention a couple of them to you real quickly. I'm not teaching on these, but I'll just tell you what I discovered. People get offended in the church because of money dealings within the church. You start borrowing money off of people and owing people money in the church and doing certain kinds of business with people in the church, and we find out real quickly that people are offended over money very fast. Very fast. I'm offended. Don't want to go to that church with that guy. He's a crook. People get very offended. When you go to challenge their choice of friends, oh, people don't like that. You go to a young person, a teenager, and tell them that their friendships are not good. Boy, they don't like that. Offended very, very quickly. And it wouldn't be over a doctrinal issue or a truth issue, because truth is, they probably are running with the wrong kind of person. They're just offended that you would notice it and you would dare say anything about it. People are offended about, and you ladies, you know this, you have to be very careful how you handle others about their appearance. Very self-conscious about our appearance. People are offended if you approach the way they spend or misspend their money. But then, hey, and then, boy, I'll tell you, this is one of the big ones, about their children. Either consciously or subconsciously, if you're not careful, you'll offend someone about their children. And I think one of the reasons for that is that they feel like their children are a reflection of them. And if you have said something about their child, it's really you're saying something about them. They get offended very quickly with that. The title of the sermon is Offenders, Offending, and the Offended. And the Bible says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Here, God talks about a brother offended. Now, what are we talking about? Well, just to clear it up, it could be two different things here. And probably it is both. A brother. We're talking about, you know, there are people in this room. You have offenses within your own family. You are offended with somebody that's in your own family. You're offended. There are people in here, you've not talked to your mother in a long time. You've not talked to your dad in a long time. You don't talk to your son. You won't talk to your daughter. It is probably talking about family. But not only that. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You see, I sat in a building today and we're having a family reunion. These saved people that are members of my church, they're my brothers in Christ. And these saved ladies that are members of my church, they are my sisters in Christ. And so it's talking about the family of God being offended among themselves. Or it's talking about your family, the people that have your same last name, being offended among themselves. And it says a brother offended is harder won. In other words, it's hard to win them back once you've offended them. Which is also teaching you should be trying to win them back. Those of you that get set in your staunch ways say, well, I'm not budging in this relationship. Well, you're not right with God then. Because you are to be trying to win back those that you have hurt or that have hurt you, where that word offense has entered. Here the Bible says, a brother offended is harder to be won, which means that somebody was trying to win back the offended party or win someone back because of an offense. So you should be trying to win them back. Not only should you be not standing there saying, I won't try to reconcile, you should also not be the one that's hard to win back. Because it says here, a brother offended is harder to be won. Now, it's talking about that brother that's been offended is hard to win back, so somebody's trying to win them back, and somebody, the other side of this, is being difficult, and they won't be won back. Don't you be the one that won't try to win back a party that's offended, but nor should you be the one that says, I won't be won back. I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back to this relationship with my brother or my sister or my mom or my dad or a brother or sister here in the church. It says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. So here it's comparing the offended person to a city that is well fortified and strongly able to keep outsiders from entering in. In other words, that offense comes, we put up our bars and we're saying, I don't want you to enter my life. It says, and their contentions are like the bars of a city. Offended people become contentious, or offenders become contentious. They can actually become attackers, hard to get along with. They can become troublemakers. I'll tell you what happens in a church. Somebody gets offended in the church, and before long, they become troublemakers in the church. They're offended, they're hurt. They're like a wounded animal. You ever heard someone say, don't try to pet a wounded dog. He's liable to bite you. That's exactly it. Somebody gets offended, they get hurt in the church, and before long, they almost got their pistol drawn all the time looking to shoot at somebody because they're wounded. Not because that somebody has necessarily done something wrong, it's because they're wounded. And it says, and their contentions are like the bars of a city. Of course, the bars of a city, they'd be like putting bars over your windows. Why? To keep something out and to keep something in. Offended people try to shut you out. They become locked in and decided, I'm not going to be won back, and I don't want that relationship. But God's not for that. Boy, doesn't that describe us. There are two parts to the problem then. There is the offender and there is the offended. And we should do all that we can not to be the offender. Every person under the sound of my voice, whether you are a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church or you are a guest today, you should decide, I don't want to be an offender in life. We should all want to grow so that we're not offenders. Then I think we all ought to want to grow so that we're not the offended. You see, there's growth for both. You should not want to be offended. So there are people here today that need to learn strongly to stop being such an offender of people. Stop being an offender. Grow in the Lord and stop offending people. But wait. And then we all need to learn not to be offended. And let's face something. We're human beings. I'm a human being, you're a human being, and the only way as a church family we will stick together is if we grow in not being offenders and we grow in not being offended. And if you won't, I'm going to promise you, there are people in this building who say they love this preacher and love this church, and a year from now you won't even be in this church. I'll tell you why. Because you're so easily offended, or you're an offender that will not change the way you deal with people. And it won't be over doctrine. It'll be over your emotions and your inability to grow in the area of being offender or being offended. In a church, we shouldn't hear or think statements like this. I'm so offended that I'll never go back to that Sunday school class. Statements like that ought not exist. And if they do, they ought to be fixed pretty quickly. We shouldn't be hearing that. I'm so hurt. I'll never speak to her again. I'm so offended. I'll not attend that church again. I'm offended, and I'll let it be known. I'll advertise it with my attitude. I'm offended, and I'll not follow that leader. I'm offended, and I'll not be good to that follower. God, over and over and over again, talks about offenses. Offenders. Being offended. Being offensive. I wish that we as a church collectively would work at growing at this matter. The message this morning is very, very simple, but it's so practical. You say, I love Christmas, Brother Owens. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Well, and then let's find out what that's really all about. Or you just like the songs. truth is, we're to have peace on earth. What's it mean? You're not to go around being an offender, and you're not to go around being offended. Goodwill toward men, what's that mean? You're not to be an offender, and you're not to be going around being offended all the time. That's what it means. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Hardest part about this is who is going to be offended with me today because I'm trying to keep you from being offended. I thought about this. There are people sitting there already saying, "What are you talking about? Please." I'm not trying to talk about you. I'm trying to help God's people have peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Somebody will storm out of here today offended, and I will be the offender. I didn't mean to, and I don't want to, and I'll do my best not to do that. But if you'll listen to me today, I started looking up the word offenses and offended and offender in the Bible a bit, and I think I learned some things that I need to learn. Maybe if I needed to learn them, maybe you too could glean a little bit from what I learned about this. For instance, number one, I asked myself, well, what offends people? So I went to the old black book that has all the answers, and it's always right. And I let the old black book analyze mankind and tell me what offends man. Why or what is it that offends man? I found out this. You know, some people are offended with Jesus. They are offended with Jesus. Listen to this verse. 1 Peter 2:8 it says, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." They're talking about Jesus Christ being offensive to people. What? Yeah, it's speaking of Jesus. A rock of offense. These people stumble at His Word. They're disobedient to His Word. Here, let me tell you what it means. The Bible says that Jesus is offensive to some people, and I'll tell you why. Some unbelievers are offended with Jesus because they are told they can't save themselves. Jesus must do the saving. And some people say, "I'll do it myself." And I'm offended that you would dare tell me that I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. There are people that are offended with the purity of Christ and their own inadequacy that they can't save themselves. They're offended with it. They're offended when we say salvation is by grace through faith and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That means this. If you're in this auditorium today, you could be the best person that this old world has to offer. But you're still a sinner. And you must get saved by trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone, and you have no part in it. All your good works added together will not save you. And you say, "I don't like that." You're offended with Jesus? He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. The only way you get to heaven is by trusting what He did, not by what you do. And there are actually people that are offended at the fact that salvation is by grace through faith and it's not of works. All your good deeds won't save you. The good deeds were done by Jesus. That's what salvation is. We can't change that. But the Bible teaches that offenses come because people won't accept Christ as Savior. They want to be co-partner in regard to salvation, but He doesn't need you as a partner for salvation. He needs you to receive Him as Savior. That's all. Now, let me tell you this, though. Let's make sure that if people are offended with Jesus, it's because of our position of Christ being the Savior, not our disposition about them. What do you mean? Look, when we go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, folks, we're supposed to tell them about Jesus, but you're not to be rude to them while you're telling them about Christ. Someone told me, they said, "Brother Owens, I have to be careful going soul winning with so-and-so. They'll get out there, present the plan of salvation and tell someone they need to be saved. And if that lost person rejects the basic attitude of the soul winner, it's all right, fine, die and go to hell then." Now, wait a minute. They're then not offended with your position, they're offended with your disposition. And you better always remember something. When you're telling someone about Christ, if they reject salvation at that moment, somebody hopefully is going to follow up on them later, and we hope you've left a good taste in their mouth. We hope you've been pleasant with them, even if they rejected Christ, because we're still trying to get them saved. It's not all about you getting to be the one to win them. It's all about keeping them out of hell, and we ought to give them a good impression of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Hey, if there's going to be offense about Jesus, let them truly be offended with the Savior, not with the Savior's delivery voice. But the Bible teaches there's offenses about Jesus Christ Himself. You know, there are people that will be offended if you talk about this season being the season of Jesus Christ. It's too bad, huh? It's too bad. Secondly, why? Why are people offended? What is it that offends people? Well, some people, I say this, some people, it could be anything. Say, why are people offended? It could be anything. Some people are just so easily offended. There are people that have developed an attitude that they're always the victim in life. Everybody's always out to get them. They can trust nobody but themselves, and they don't even do that. Ever met the victimized people? That are of childhood, so the rest of their life they're going to be a victim. There are some people that it is virtually impossible not to offend them. You're always walking on eggshells around them. If you have any dealings with them, it's a no-win situation. You see, there are people like that? There absolutely are. There are people you just don't. You say, well, what really offends her? I don't know. But I can promise you, something will.
Right.
You can go to the bank on it. You going to spend much time with her at all? She'll be offended. See, it's kind of like, you're wrong if you do and you're wrong if you don't kind of a thing. Doesn't matter what you do, you're going to offend them. Let me tell you all something. In the church, for some of you, it'll take forever for you to get the spiritual help you need, because you got to water things down so much to keep from offending you about your true situation. It's going to take forever, because the counselors and the people trying to help are always trying to sidestep your temperamental behavior. You could have given four things that would have helped them in one setting, but you don't dare. They can't even swallow one thing without being offended, and the problem is not them, it's you, because you offended them. And the Bible talks about this. You want peace on earth? You want goodwill to man? Stop being an offender. Stop being offended so easily. Why? What offends people? They're offended with Jesus. Some are just offended over anything because their offense mechanism is out of control. It's flipping on and off and on and off and on and off all the time. Thirdly, people are offended when someone else is promoted or succeeds around them. I think one of the primary illustrations of this is this. I said people are offended when someone around them is promoted or gets something that they wanted or somebody else succeeds. And the offended one, they wanted that. And they wanted that success. And they didn't get that honor. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 13, let me read three verses to you. The Bible says, and this is about Jesus, when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, and are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. Here's what happened. Jesus had gone into his hometown where he grew up. The Bible says at the conclusion of what's about to happen, these people were offended with him. He entered his hometown. He taught them some wonderful things. The critics immediately rose up and were offended, and they said, what's so special about him? Who's he think he is? Arrives in town teaching us all these wonderful things. That's what they're saying about Jesus Christ. We watched you grow up, hot shot. I know your mom. I know your dad. I know your brothers and sisters. You grew up in this town. Don't you come into this town giving us this God stuff. That's what they did. They were offended with Jesus Christ's success. What makes you better than us? He was. He was God. They had a hard time accepting the fact that somebody did something better than them, was chosen over them, and they were offended. Hey, he astounded the people when he was talking. These critics, they had talked to the people, but never astounded them. The critics had talked more than one time, and nobody ever walked away saying, wow, look at what's being accomplished, look at that. No. So somebody else comes into town, gives a speech, and everybody says, wow, look at that. And immediately somebody said, don't you think he's such a hot shot? Let me tell you everything I can bad about him, because you may think he's successful, but I know him. I knew him when he was just a kid. Offended with the success of the Savior. Let me warn you, folks. It is pride that causes contention and offense because somebody else got to teach Sunday school and you didn't. It is our pride that gets pricked when somebody else got the promotion or somebody else got what we wanted. And so we are offended just like these people right here. So what is it that causes us to be offended? According to the Bible, people are offended with Jesus Christ Himself. According to the Bible, there are some people that just be offended on anything because their offense mechanism is just short-circuited somewhere, always offended with something. There are people, when they are promoted or succeed, there are people that will be offended with that success. Let me tell all of you something. As you experience success in the church, you're going to be criticized by somebody. And I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Not everybody is spiritual enough to cheer for you while you succeed. There are some that are jealous of you, and they may be critical of you, and they'll be offended with your success. Why else? Why are people offended? People are offended when they have been proven wrong. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. I find that people are offended, according to the Bible, people are offended when they have been proven wrong. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why did thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. These people questioned Jesus Christ. Then, listen, Matthew 15:3, Jesus answers. But he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of your God and your tradition? So he answered by correcting them. Listen to what they say in the next verse. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? That's what you said. They challenged him. He corrected God. Jesus corrected them. And they were offended with who? God. Why? He corrected them. He corrected them. Let me ask you a question. For all of us, for me, for you, everybody here, the youngest Christian in the house to the oldest Christian in the house, can you graciously handle being told you're wrong without being offended? In this story, right and wrong was not the issue as much as if I'm right or I'm wrong. Listen to me, folks. Truth is, if you want to boil this thing down to its purest form, you and I ought to be concerned with right and wrong, not whether I'm right or I'm wrong. Right and wrong ought to be the issue. You see, we get ourselves into it, in our personalities and our feelings, and there's where offense comes. Hey, you ought to be able, and I ought to be able, to hear the words, you're wrong. Take it, fix it, and go on. Instead of take it and then go on up the road and join another church. That's what I think it is, sir. I'm wrong. I'm leaving then. I had a lady say to me, you'd never guess who it was. I had a lady say to me about 3 years ago in this church. She came to me and she said, I'll tell you what. there was a man that was doing something here on the property. It was a public service. She said, I'll tell you what, had I been present, I would have stood up and told him not to say that. And I would have said, you would have been set down, ma'am, because it would have been very wrong for you to challenge one of the assistant pastors in behaving as such. You know what she did? She stormed out of my office, gathered up her family, stormed out of this church, and never been back. Why? Because I told her she'd be wrong in a public service to stand up and challenge a pastor. You know what was over? A skit. A skit. Somebody in a public service had done a skit. It irritated her. She was mad. She came to tell me if it would have happened in her presence that she would have stood up and taken care of that. And I said, yeah, and you would have been set down because you're not going to act like that around here. She stormed out. Why? She's offended. You see, offenses. The offended. The offenders. God talks about it in the Bible. What offends people? Jesus does. What offends people? Some are offended with just anything. Well, what offends people when somebody else is promoted or succeeds? What offends people when they're proven wrong? What offends people? Hey, I could go on, but what is it that gets your goose? What is it that offends you? And I'm not saying what it is that offends you is necessarily right. But how you do in handling those offenses? Now, who is it that offends, according to the Bible? Who offends? We all do. Everybody here. Everybody here from time to time can have that tendency to be offensive in the way we handle each other. So could I tell you all something? If it's not you today, it might be you next week. So it'd be real smart for you to be patient with the people that are guilty this week. So I'm going to a church where I won't be offended. How long are you going to be there, babe? Maybe you could do the Easter Bunny thing and just hop yourself all over the county until you find a church where nobody's there but you, and then you'll be offended with you and you'll try to leave you. That's why you have a split personality. You're weird. You're going to be around people, they're going to be offensive from time to time. You got to learn how to deal with it. And wear your feelings on your cup all the time. We all offend. James 3:2 says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Just so you know, there is no such thing as a perfect man other than Jesus Christ. We all offend. Everybody needs to work in not being an offender of people, though. Have you ever taken a good long look at your people skills? Have you ever taken a good long look at how you behave toward people? I'm not asking about how people behave toward you. I'm talking about the way you behave toward people. And I'm not talking about being a wishy-washy, stand-for-nothing Christian. I'm talking about a firm stand for right and Christ, but doing it in as non-offensive way as we can. Remember, and I know this, some people are going to be offended no matter what you do. I know that. There are some people, it's just you're waiting to see what moment they're getting ready to go off. That's going to happen. They're like that. But you ought to be sure that if that happens, it's their weakness of being easily offended that brings it on rather than your overbearing offensive ways. If you're constantly offending people, then you need to fix you. Hear that? If you're constantly offending people, you need to fix you. You say, well, they shouldn't be so sensitive. We can't fix them. The only person you can fix is you. You need to work on you. Well, they're too soft. You need to work on you. You can't fix me. I can't fix you. I better work on not being an offensive person. Not to be an offender. So we ask ourselves this question. What offends? We got an answer from the Bible. I ask myself this question, who offends? Everybody does. Everybody under the sound of my voice needs to work and not being an offensive person. All of us do. Thirdly, why are we offended? I'm going to have to use a Bible verse here. I hope you don't mind. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We're offended because we don't love the Word of God like we should. Picture the ridiculousness of this verse. Nothing shall offend them. I wonder who wrote that. Nothing shall offend them. Brother, my behavior is cattling on me. When I'm offended with you, obviously I am not loving the Word of God, living the Word of God, and believing the Word of God like I'm supposed to. Here, Brother Owens, the reason I'm offended is because of them. The reason you're offended is because of your relationship with the Word of God has some lack somewhere. Well, let me read that verse again. Let's see. Great peace and thing which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This would be a good time to get us an RSV or something and cut some of these words out, amen? I mean, if we're going to eliminate some words, let's hand choose them. Let's get us an NIV, a non-inspired version, and we can take the word offend out of here. And nothing out of here. But the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Is that your goal? Could I give you a good goal for the new year? What is it? Nothing shall offend me. Nothing shall offend me. That'll fix your marriage. Nothing shall offend me. That'll keep you from traipsing off and going up the road to find you another church. Nothing shall offend me. You say, Brother Owens, you worry about somebody going up the road going to another church? Don't know of one person that's doing that. Not one. Not even one that's contemplating. After this sermon, not for some will, but... Nothing shall offend them. My goal for 2007 is nothing shall offend me. Nothing shall offend me. Nothing shall offend me. I'm bigger than that. I have my emotions under control. Is it your goal to be able to handle all people's situations and say, and nothing shall offend me? And nothing shall offend me. Do you desire to rise above fleshly, carnal, weak ways of the unspiritual man and say, no matter what he does, I plan not to be offended. I have my spirit so deeply submerged in the Word of God, I'll be able to handle it. Hey, and look at the benefits. Great peace. Wow. That's what some of you need, isn't it? I need peace. What's causing your turmoil? Offenders? Offenses? Or that you're offensive? The benefits are great peace. That's what your mind needs. Great peace. That's what your marriage needs. Great peace. That's what your home needs. Great peace. There is not much peace in homes where there are easily offended people. And there is not much peace in the homes where there are offenders. This is good marriage counseling this morning. That's what every church in the country needs. Great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's what we need. So what are the prerequisites of this great peace? And nothing shall offend them, which love thy law. Which love thy law. You see, this book is a book about others. God hates our pride. You'll find an offense always tagged onto offenses somewhere is pride. And the Bible's a book that's all about other people. And the Bible's a book that humbles us about our pride. God does not want us to be self-centered. The Bible's a book about others. Offenders are hurt others. Offenders hurt relationships. And so, why are we offended? Somehow, there is a lack in our relationship with the Word of God. You say, explain it. I'm not sure I can. I can read it to you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you can analyze her any way you want, bud. But the Bible teaches right here, those of us that are offended have some lack in our life. It doesn't say, great peace have they which love thy law, and they won't go offending. It's just, great peace have they that love thy law, and they won't be offended. Sure. Nothing shall offend them. You see, the only part I can control in my relationship with you and me, the only part I control is me. And I've got to make sure I've got the right relationship with the Word of God so I'm not offended with you. So, peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. And if that's really what we think the Christmas season is all about, then I think we ought to be working on not being offenders. And I think we ought to be working on not being offended. And I think we ought to work on getting rid of some of the offenses. To what? We can have great peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Why are we offended? There's a lack of a relationship with the Word of God. Now, why do we offend? Let's look at that for a second. Sometimes we mean well, but it doesn't turn out well. That ever happened to you? There are times when I mean well and I'm sincere, but somehow it doesn't turn out as well as what I thought. Here's the great part about that. God knows our heart. If you meant well and you were sincere and you had the purest of intentions and you offend anyway, boy, God knows your heart. And if the person that you've offended has any common sense or spirituality about them all, they'll accept your apology and say, I am so sorry. I was talking to this lady one day. I said, oh, well, when's your baby due? She said, I'm not pregnant. Bummer! I mean, like you're standing there hanging and you're thinking, so now what do I say? You don't try to explain it. You know, you don't say, well, the reason I said that was... I'm out again! There are times when we can be sincere and it comes from our heart. And we do something and then you happen on to someone that's had a rough day or it didn't come out right, it didn't turn out the way you thought. But God knows our hearts when those things happen. And you know what? We all ought to have some patience, some kindness, some consideration. And we all ought to be spiritual enough to know, hey, and it is going to happen. Right here in the church, you will be offended. But it might have come from somebody that was as sincere as they knew how to be. We're going to have to make place of that. We're going to have to make place for that kind of a thing. Hey, why else? Why do we offend? I think we offend because we do not think before we speak. We offend because we do not think before we speak. We offend because we do not think before we act. Ask yourself this question before you say certain things. How will this be perceived? Now the word perceived there is important. Not what do you mean, how will they think you mean it? Not everybody, something that you've thought about for 4 hours... The receiver has not thought about what you're about to say for 4 hours. So you better think through it so you can ask yourself, what I'm about to say, how will it be perceived? How will it be received? Ask yourself, how could I say this in a non-offensive way? Think. 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 Churches that have peace are thinking churches. Families that have peace are thinking families. Mrs. Owens and I rarely have fusses. And when we do, they're her fault. Could I tell you something? Mrs. Owens and I rarely ever face anything different than what you and your spouse face. But we think before we talk, and we think before we resolve issues, and we resolve issues in a non-offensive, spiritual, mature way. There are times when we don't have enough money to pay the bills, like you don't have enough money to pay the bills, but we were careful on how we handle it. We think.
Amen.
You say, well, we just can't get along. You just don't think, and you're an offender, and somebody's offended all the time, and that's why you fuss like you do. You don't face anything that everybody else in here doesn't face from time to time. There are some that choose to handle it in a dignified, kind, gentle, well thought through way, and there are others that just spout off and yell and scream and throw things and make things a mess in their family. Just think about it. How many problems could we all have? They're identical. The difference is offenders and the offended and the offenses. We offend because we do not think before we speak or act. Most offenders are not thinkers. They're quick to speak and slow to think. You know something? I promise you this. Every time I offend one of you, it's because I got in the flesh for the moment when I spoke. I want to fight back. There are some people I harness myself quite well with. And I think I'm going to let them talk. I'm going to say very little. You have to think if you're not going to be an offender. I want to get along with the people in my church. I even want to get along with the jerks. Plan your words. Not just to say what you want to say, but how to say it. So we offend. Sometimes we're well-meaning, but it doesn't turn out well. We offend because we don't think before we act. We offend because we don't practice a thing called tact. Now, I know some of you are thinking, what's tact? It's a certain relationship and conversation propriety. It's knowing when to say something or when not to say that something. It's knowing how to say it or whether it should be said. It's knowing whether something should be said or not. It's knowing something should be said or maybe it shouldn't, or mingling grace and mercy with your words. There are ways of being kind and still fixing difficult situations. So, why do we offend? Sometimes we're well-meaning. It just didn't turn out right. Sometimes we offend because we don't think before we speak. Sometimes we offend because we do not use tact. Some of you just need to think, I've got to be tactful in how I handle myself. Some are offenders on purpose. Romans 16:17 says, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which have learned and avoid them. There are some people, the Bible says here, there are people that cause division. You know what that means? They set out to cause division. They're looking to cause disunity. Some of you that are a little more simple-minded, you be careful. There are wise people in the church that will say certain things to you so you'll go cause the disunity for them. They play on the minds of the simple-minded. They have a root of bitterness about something inside them. They make their little statements and their little jabs, and they're trying to figure out their way to knock down the leadership and knock down somebody else. You be careful around those kind of people. Some are offensive on purpose. They're out to offend. And it's probably because somewhere along the line they were offended. They didn't get something they wanted. They felt like they got mistreated, and they think that it's okay to offend if you've been offended. That's just like when you tell your kids, he hit me, that's why I hit him. And so, okay, then it's all right. No, we don't believe that. But we practice it emotionally on the inside where nobody can see it, don't we? Now, you say, Brother, how in the world can I overcome being an offender? If you don't want to be an offender, you're going to have to work on it. You're going to have to develop some tact. You're going to have to learn to control your tongue. Avoid other offenders, by the way. Look, two offenders spending all their time together is big trouble. So how do I overcome being offended? Fall deeply in love with the Word of God. Hey, try this. Try giving people the benefit of the doubt. You know something? I've got this firm belief. If you mess up today, I still have a dream for your life tomorrow. Okay, you goofed up. You did wrong. You sinned. Let's get you through this. Back on track. Let's make sure God uses you in the future. Do you know that not everybody thinks that way? Once offended, always offended. You put with me forever. And you are a juvenile Christian. I don't know where the child is, but there's a child speaking and they need to be quiet now. Listen. Why can't we suffer an offense and decide we'll get over it, forgive, go on, and fix our relationships?
Amen.
That's why marriages come to an end. I'm offended and that's it. This is the last time I'll be offended. I plan to be offended as many times as it takes. I plan to stay married.
Amen.
Offenders. The offended. The offense says. They ruin churches. They ruin families. They ruin friendships. Some of you, if you don't want to be offended, you're going to have to fight your own pride. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine." Avoid people who cause offenses. Avoid people who cause division. Love them, but don't linger around them. So I've said this to you. You want to know what Christmas is really all about? We say it's peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. What are we really talking about? Me and you as human beings learning to get along. And if it ought to be happening anywhere, it ought to be happening in this church. And it does. It does. I'm going to try. There's nothing broken. Some broken people. But we don't have a broken church here. Not at all. That's how it ought to be in your family. The people you spend the most time with are the ones who are going to offend you the most. Why? Merely because of the amount of time you spend together. Look, you men that work on the staff here, we spend a lot of time together. There will be moments of tension because we're human. It's going to happen. We've got to decide. I don't want to be the offender, and I don't want to be the offended. But if I'm ever the offender, I'll get it right. If I'm ever the offended, I'll get it right, and I'll go on, and I'll serve God. And we'll still be friends. Hey, choir, you spend a lot of time together. Lots of choir practices. Now, I would decide, I don't want to be the offender, and I don't want to be the offended, but if it happens, I'll get it right. I don't have to leave the church. I don't have to quit the choir. I don't have to put my tail between my legs and run and cry, because I can't handle life and its relationships. All right, you got your kids over in the school. There are teachers spending 7 and 8 hours a day, 5 days a week with your kids. Then they coach them after school, and they're in aftercare. And then we've got youth directors that are taking care of them, and young fundamentalists, and they're in King's Kids. Look, we live together. We're like a great big family here, folks.
Yes, sir.
And whoever you spend a whole bunch of time with, there's going to be some offenses, and you're going to be the offender. But do we have to offend and run? Do we have to be offended and run? Couldn't we grow up and be good Christians and say, you know what, I knew this would happen. It's here. I'm going to stew for a moment. I'll get right with God. I'll get right with them, and we'll all be all right.
Amen.
That will determine whether you stay in the church or not. Right there. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. Because a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. If you're here today and you never trusted Jesus Christ, this teaching of the day, it works best if you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. You see, everybody that's saved is saying, I think that's possible. I need to work on that. There's some of you might say, how in the world would you ever live like that? Get saved. God can help you live the way you're supposed to live. You won't live it by yourself.